At the International Criminal Court in The Hague today, a judge issued this warning. Any revelation of the identity of a witness whose identity has been protected amounts to an offense. This came during the trial of Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto for crimes against humanity. Kenyan media named the very first witness in the trial. She testified yesterday. Ruto and his boss, President Uhuru Kenyatta, deny orchestrating violence that followed disputed elections 6 years ago. More than 1,000 people were killed. It's the first time in the history of the court that serving leaders have been called to account for their actions. And so the case is seen as a huge test for the concept of international justice. The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse has been to Eldoret in the Rift Valley. That's Ruto's hometown and the scene of some of the worst violence.
Well, you can still see the scars from those clashes nearly 6 years ago now in the village of Kiamba outside Eldoret. Burnt out houses, their roofs caved in. But the people who fled from here back then have now returned and they're living in the ruins of their former homes.
We ran into the church. There were so many of us. We were all packed in.
That's Purity Musina. She turned 17 this summer, so she must have been 11 years old at the time. And as she tells her story, she keeps her eyes fixed firmly on the ground and she's constantly wringing her hands.
And then all hell broke loose. People came screaming.
It was the 1st of January 2008. Kenya was about to descend into a four-month-long nightmare of killing and brutality. Along with hundreds of others, Purity and her mother had taken shelter in the church in the hope that it would provide them with protection. It didn't. The attackers from a rival ethnic group set the building on fire. Those who couldn't get out burnt to death. Others were set upon as they fled.
I remember at the gate, I saw a woman carrying a small child. The attackers snatched the boy from her arms. Then they slashed him with a machete. They chopped his feet off. I watched him die.
The International Criminal Court will have to decide whether William Ruto, now Kenya's deputy president, was instrumental in orchestrating this and other acts of violence. The president, Uhuru Kenyatta, will defend himself against similar charges in November. It's a legal drama and the nation is hooked. Well, we've come now to a small eatery cafe attached to a butcher's shop in the centre of Eldoret, where people have come to watch the trial live.
I don't think it will bring justice. We pray that this thing should come to an end, because we need our leaders to come back and continue with their job, and they are innocent.
That's Kiplagat Komen, a local businessman who reflects a pervading sense of suspicion of the ICC here in what is William Ruto's heartland. In recent weeks, several witnesses for the prosecution have withdrawn their testimony. The prosecution says they've been threatened or paid off.
These people might have been bribed to speak the ill of the people.
Elections in Kenya are deeply rooted in ethnic politics. 5 years ago here in Eldoret, clashes broke out essentially because one ethnic group, the Kalenjin, felt that their leader had been cheated out of victory by another ethnic group, the Kikuyu. But since then, these two blocs have gone into coalition and they fought the last election on a unified platform. And that, say some, is proof that reconciliation is working here.
Those are marriages of convenience. Reconciliation process has not actually begun.
That's Major John Say, retired from the military, now paramount leader of the Council of Kalenjin Elders. He says his community could react badly if Mr. Ruto is convicted.
If Ruto is found guilty, God forbid, then the entire community will feel convicted and guilty. And so I do not know what will happen.
The Kenyan cases have put the International Criminal Court under intense scrutiny. It's attracted criticism from across the continent for pursuing almost exclusively African cases. Meanwhile, many of those who bore the brunt of the violence 5 years ago feel they have little to gain from the judicial process going on at The Hague. Purity Musina.
Those who burned our houses are not the ones who sell us our milk and our vegetables. We have forgiven each other. We have put it behind us.
But defenders of international justice insist that if no one is held accountable this time, history will be bound to repeat itself.
The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse reporting from Eldoret, Kenya.